Vante kapatu vyascha kripasindu vai vacha patitram bhavinebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Swayambhuva Manu has renounced his kingdom and has entered the forest to perform austerities. And he's begun reciting a prayer just in a way that the Lord can hear it. Of course, everything that we say or even think Krishna can hear, because sarvasya chaham, in every living entity, riddhi, sanavista, in the heart, Krishna is situated. Not only can he hear everything, but he gives the intelligence so that someone can speak or think. This is Krishna's grace. And according yayatamam prapadyante, according to our desires, Krishna will reciprocate and give that type of intelligence. And when our desire is to purely serve him, the dami buddhi yogam tam yenamam prapadyante, he gives the intelligence, the buddhi yoga, by which we are able to serve him and come to him. This is Krishna's most special gift. Yayatamam prapadyante. So Swayambhuva Manu is murmuring. That's the word, the translated word that the Prabhupada translates. He's not loudly proclaiming his prayers. He's murmuring it, speaking softly. Murmuring, I believe there are three levels of japa also. One is when one chants out loud. I can't remember the names of them. There are Sanskrit terms for them. One is chanting out loud. The other is murmuring. And the other is silent japa. And the difference between murmuring is the lips move in murmuring, but only a little bit of a sound comes out. So he was murmuring. He was chanting these prayers in this way. And what he was doing in these prayers is delineating the supersoul, explaining that worshipable person whom everyone should take shelter of. That is the Lord, but the Lord's form is the supersoul. And what qualities does he have? He is everywhere, everything. The universe is his body. He has no beginning. He has no end. He has no middle. He is all-pervading, but yet with form. But no personality, but with form. This is the supersoul. This is not the super soul. Oh, Rasa, Hare Krishna. Swagatam, Hare Krishna. Very happy to see you. Kushi. Because in life, it is very rare that someone has a very focused objective of understanding God. What to speak of someone having a focused objective and it being pure, anya vilasita shunyam, jnana karma anavrita, with no selfish desires. Because most of the worship of people is motivated. It is full with desires other than to please him. This stage is very, very, very rare, where one only, purely wants to please Krishna, fully surrendered, and wants to please him only. So that stage is rare, and Manu is praying because he's been the ruler, and his prayers, in some senses, are similar to the prayers of Prithu Maharaj when he's instructing the citizens. Because he's explaining to the citizens, Prithu Maharaj was, how karma, how work can be used to elevate one in pure devotional service. It's a wonderful science. How work can elevate us. But the first principle is to understand is what Manu has just explained, is how great God is. Because when one glimpses how great Krishna is, Mama Angsa Tejo Sambhava, with just one fraction of his power, he's pervading and supporting the entire universe, that immediately should fill us with some humility and think, oh, he is great, I am tiny, therefore I should serve him. But that is only if we are Sukritin, if we are pious souls. If we are impious, and in Kali Yuga we become increasingly more impious, that when we see someone great and understand that we are tiny, instead of wishing to serve that person, envy fills the heart. Why is he so great? He's God. He creates him great and me small. He has some problem or something. Therefore, the best thing is to criticize him, rip him down from his position. This is envy. The mind of the small cannot actually fathom the consciousness of the great any more than a child can understand the way of thinking of the parents. The child simply doesn't have the conceptual abilities to understand how his parents think. So first, we have to understand, and as Manu was explaining, how great God is. The entire cosmic manifestation is the body of the Supreme Lord. He has millions of names, unlimited potency. If someone has unlimited potency, it's inconceivable for us to understand him. He is aloof from everything, although everything rests upon him, his power. But he himself, his energies are so great that he himself is not at all connected with the creation. Although he has created it, he is maintaining it, it is resting upon him. And he is destroying it. And when it is destroyed, it is wound up again into him. So how great this person is. These are very similar instructions also, and Prabhupada quoted in one of the purports, to the instructions that Narada Muni gives to Srila Vyasadeva when Vyasadeva has written the entirety of the Vedic literature and is still not satisfied because he hasn't directly glorified the Lord. So Narada Muni tells Vyasa, you should understand the greatness of God, that nothing is separate from him, and people therefore should work for his pleasure. Because everyone in this world is working. We can't avoid work. But whose pleasure? For whose pleasure do we work? And therefore the work, because it's selfish, it doesn't bring us satisfaction. But yet we cannot stop working. It is the very nature of a soul to be active. As soon as the soul leaves the body becomes like a piece of wood. Inactive, unconscious, jada. But its inactivity is so apparent. The heart stops, everything stops, the blood stops immediately as soon as the soul leaves. As soon as the soul is there, activity is there, because it is the nature of the soul to be active. No one can sit for even a moment without being active, practically speaking. So we have to act. So how to act so that that work, those activities, don't entangle us further in the material world? That is the art of work, and that's what Narada Muni wishes Srila Vyasadeva to explain. That is what Pritam Raj instructs his citizens. And that's what Manu, who was previously the king before this period of renunciation, that is what Manu is praying to the Lord. So therefore in text 14, he says, you are so great. Therefore to enable people to reach the stage of activities, that are not tinged by fruit of results, to be able to work so that no karma comes to us, good or bad. Great saints first engage people in fruitive activities. For unless one begins by performing activities as recommended in the shastras, one cannot reach the stage of liberation or activities that produce no reactions. So it is a stage-by-stage process. First, fruit of activities according to shastra. So at least there is a surrender there to higher authority. And one understands that if I perform this activity in this way, I will be benedicted with some good result. Not that the good result is just coming through my great power and wonderful abilities. The power is not mine. The ability is not mine. It is gifted to me. So therefore I have to work according to higher order. So at least one is acknowledging higher order, something higher than me. In contemporary civilization, there is nothing higher than me. That's the way people think. I am the center of existence. So, of course, that's such darkness, such foolishness, such illusion. So, to help people progress, great saints, Swami Bhuvamanu says, first engage people in fruitive activities. The goal is not that they perform fruitive activities, but the goal is that at least they perform activities that will purify them, even if they are fruitive. And then, because they're recommended in shastra, they cleanse the heart. And then, one can gradually engage in activities, even in the material world, that don't entangle one. Prabhupada's purport here, a little bit long, but they tell the philosophy of work, which is described in the first five chapters, especially 3, 4, 5, and 3, 4, and 5 in Bhagavad Gita. Here's Prabhupada's purport. In Bhagavad Gita 3.9, Lord Krishna advises, yagyartat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandana. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. So again, the point that we have to work, it's unavoidable. It's unavoidable. Work is unavoidable. It is not recommended that we give up work. But yet, it is not recommended that we become entangled in the fruits of our work. Why isn't it recommended? Because it causes us suffering. So the great saints don't want to see that. So, one should perform work as sacrifice, Krishna described. Yagyatat kamano anyatra lokoyam kama bandana. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. Prabhupada's purport continues. Generally, everyone is attracted to hard labor for becoming happy in this material world. But although various activities are going on all over the world simply for the sake of happiness, unfortunately, only problems are being created from such fruitive activities. The result that we ultimately want never comes, even though the intermediate result may appear. We try to get something. And why do we want that something? It is not that we want that something just for having that something, but we're expecting some happiness to come from it. But it is like glitter that just hides the actual insubstantial happiness that the material items promise but can't actually deliver to us. Promise, 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 promise. If and only you get this, do this, have this, you should have horse races and dog races. I was hearing Prabhupada speak on a morning walk this morning. He was talking about dog races. And he said, what is the difference? People have horse races, dog races, car races. People are just racing and racing and racing. But what is the purpose of human life that they are missing? What is the difference between a dog racing on four legs, a horse racing on four legs, and a human being racing on four wheels? It's either wheels or legs. But the racing for material enjoyment is the same, but human life is meant for something different. A man is known and appreciated according to the ideal he is striving for. Even if someone is not successful, if he has a glorious ideal, people will accept that as glorious. But if it's just racing on four wheels like a dog, instead of four with sophisticated races, what's the difference? It's just another kind of dog race, Prabhupada was explaining. So trying so hard for happiness, but unfortunately only problems are being created from fruitive activities. Therefore it is advised that active persons engage in activities of Krishna consciousness which are called jagya, because then they will gradually come to the platform of devotional service. Jagya means Lord Vishnu. The Jagya Purusha, the enjoyer of all sacrifices, Bhoktiram Jagatapasam Sovaloka Maheshwaram. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually the enjoyer. And therefore, if we begin our activities for His satisfaction, we will gradually lose our taste for material activities. Sutta Goswami declared to the great assembly of sages of Namasharanya, Atapumbir dhidhishreshtas vanashrama vibhagasa svanustitasya dhamasya samsadir haritoshanam. O best among the twice born. It is concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties, dharma, according to caste divisions and orders of life, is to please the Lord Hari. Bhagavatam, second chapter, the first canto, 13th verse. According to Vedic principles, everyone must act according to his classification as Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyas. Everyone should progress towards perfection by acting in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. Very, very, very difficult. Very easy to just say, yes, yes, I want to act for Krishna's pleasure. But when it comes a choice to choose between what will please Krishna and something that I want, very difficult to control the mind. Very difficult. The mind says, I want, and it grasps for something, and it doesn't hear anything else other than I want. So therefore, mandurat matmanastasya yenat maiva manajita. For one who has conquered his mind, it is a great friend. But for one who has failed to do so, that mind which is grasping over for things of matter becomes a great enemy. So one should really act in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. It's natural. He is God. He is great. We are tiny. One cannot please Krishna by sitting idly. So here is one alternative. One alternative is acting according to the mind's desire, and the other is doing nothing, sitting idly. So one cannot please Krishna by sitting idly. One must act according to the directions of the spiritual master for the sake of pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the process. Please Guru, and that pleases Krishna. The purpose, we don't separate Guru from Krishna, but bhaktyaika yeka guru deva tatma. This is the process of pleasing Krishna. And then one will gradually come to the stage of pure devotional service. Firm than the Srimad Bhagavatam. Naiskam yamapitrita bhava bhajitam na shobhyate gyanamalam naranjanam. So this is precisely the instructions that Narada Muni gives to Vyasadeva when he's done so much but yet he's not feeling satisfied in the heart. This is the instructional part of it. Knowledge of self-realization, even though freed from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of a conception of the infallible of God. So even if we know that we're eternal souls, and even if we have no attachment to the world of matter, still that won't satisfy me, the person, the soul. It does not look well because that knowledge is devoid of the conception of Krishna and our subservience, our natural, loving, devotional service relationship to Krishna. So jnanis recommend that one adopt naishkamya by not doing anything, but simply meditating and thinking of Brahman. But this is impossible unless one realizes Param Brahma, Krishna. If there is no Krishna consciousness, any kind of activity, be it philanthropic, political, or social, simply causes karma bandhana, bondage to material work. As long as one is entangled in karma bandhana, one must accept different types of bodies that spoil the human form of facility. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, karma yoga is recommended. So this is what Swami Bhuvamana was talking about, karma yoga. Actions for the pleasure of Krishna. And we won't quote the Sanskrit here. We'll just read the English. For one who is a neophyte in the yoga system, work is said to be the means. And for one who has already attained to yoga, cessation of all material activities is said to be the means. One who restrains the senses and organs of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. So one must work. That is the means towards higher advancement. But that work should be done under proper guidance, so that one just doesn't perform more and more selfish work, and that work, rather than helping us become elevated, just binds us further in the material world. So that should be done under guidance. Neither selfish work nor idleness is recommended. One should act for Krishna, Prabhupada continues, very seriously in order to become fully Krishna conscious, and should not sit down to imitate such great personalities as Haridas Thakur. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur condemned such imitation. He said, Dushta mana, you rascal mind, tumi kishera Vaishnava, what kind of Vaishnava are you? Pratishtara tare nirjanera ghari, you are sitting alone in a lonely place by yourself saying that you're doing bhajan, but what kind of bhajan? You're just doing it to gain some fame. So people will say, oh, a great devotee, he's sitting alone and chanting so advanced. Tava harinam keval kaitava, your chanting, your harinam is fully, completely cheating. Because it's not meant for Krishna's pleasure. It is meant just to get something material for you. My dear mind, here is Prabhupada's translation. What kind of devotee are you? Simply for cheap adoration, you sit in a solitary place and pretend to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, but this is all cheating. Recently at Mayapur, an African devotee wanted to imitate Haridas Thakur, but after 15 days he became restless and went away. Do not suddenly try to imitate Haridas Thakur. Engage yourself in Krishna conscious activities, and gradually you will come to the stage of liberation. Muktir hidvanyata rupa srupena vyas Vyavastitaha means become situated in your natural position. So this is what he's saying. So Manu is saying this. One must act as recommended in Shastra, even if it's fruitive, just so that one can gradually become purified. 15. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is full in opulence by his own gain. Yet, he acts as the creator, maintenance, and maintainer and annihilator of this material world. So even God acts In spite of acting in this that way, he is never entangled. Yet he is not entangled. Doesn't get any calmer when he acts. Hence devotees who follow in his footsteps also never entangled. So how to act so that no fruit of reactions come to us and no entanglement in the material world? So Prabhupada is going to quote the same verse that he quoted in the previous purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 3.9, yagyartat kamano anyatra lokoyam kama bandana. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. If we do not act in Krishna consciousness, we shall be entangled. Now listen to this example that he gives. Like silkworms in cocoons. A silkworm, he spins. Has anyone ever seen a silkworm's cocoon? Yeah, where have you seen a silkworm's cocoon? Yes. So he makes it himself around it, and then he can't get out. He does it himself. He binds himself, and that binding means his death. So we, by our work, our fruit of work, bind it ourselves in the material world, and that means our death. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appears in order to teach us how to work so that we will not be entangled in this material world. Our real problem is that we are entangled in materialistic activities. And because we are conditioned, our struggle continues through punishment in material existence in one body after another in different forms of life. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mamai Vangso, Jivaloke, Jivabhuta Sanatana, Manashastanindriyani, Prakriti Stani Karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. The living entities are actually minute forms who are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is full in everything. And the small particles of the Lord are also originally qualified like Him. But because of their minute existence, they're infected by material attraction and thus entangled. We must therefore follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, like Krishna, who was never entangled by his material activity of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, we will have nothing for which to lament. Krishna personally gives instructions in Bhagavad Gita, and anyone who follows these instructions is liberated. Following Krishna's instructions is possible when one is a devotee. For Krishna instructs that one should become a devotee. Manmana bhava mad bhakto mam yaji mam namaskuru. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Bhagavad Gita 18:65. Always thinking of Krishna means chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. But unless one is an initiated devotee, he cannot do this. As soon as one becomes a devotee, he engages in deity worship, madhyaji. A devotee's business is to offer obeisances to the Lord and the spiritual master constantly. This principle is the recognized way to come to the platform of bhakti. As soon as one comes to this platform, he gradually understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and simply by understanding Krishna, one is liberated from material bondage. So follow Krishna's instructions and learn to become free from the art of becoming free from material bondage by surrendering to Krishna. 16. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, this is another, I think, the final of Manu's prayers. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, works just like an ordinary human being. So we have to follow Krishna's instructions, and his example is also there. So he also works. He explains this in the Bhagavad Gita. He doesn't try to avoid work. Yad yad acharati shreshtas. He works just like an ordinary human being, yet he does not desire to enjoy the fruits of work. And that desiring to enjoy the fruit of work is the cause of bondage. Neutrality is not sufficient, but when the fruit of one's work is offered to Krishna, that is the cause of liberation. He is in full knowledge, free from material desires and diversions, and completely independent. As the supreme teacher of human society, he teaches his own way of activities, and thus he inaugurates the real path of religion. I request everyone to follow him. Purport. This is the sum and substance of our Krishna consciousness movement. We are simply requesting human society to follow in the footsteps of the teacher of the Bhagavad Gita. Follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita as it is, and your life will be successful. That is the summary of the Krishna consciousness movement. The organizer of the Krishna consciousness movement is teaching everyone how to follow Lord Ramachandra, how to follow Lord Krishna, and how to follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this material world, we need a leader for a monarchy or good government. Lord Ramachandra, by his practical example, showed how to live for the benefit of all human society. He fought with demons like Ravana. He carried out the orders of his father, and he remained the faithful husband of Mother Sita. Thus, there is no comparison to Lord Ramachandra's acting as an ideal king. Indeed, people still hanker for Ramarajya, or a government conducted like that of Lord Ramachandra. Similarly, although Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he taught his disciple and devotee Arjuna how to lead a life ending in going back home, back to Godhead. Chakvadeham puna janma naiti mameti suhaja. All teachings, political, economic, social, religious, cultural, and philosophical, are to be found in Bhagavad Gita. One only has to follow them strictly. The Supreme Personality of Godhead also comes as Lord Chaitanya just to play the part of a pure devotee. Thus the Lord teaches us in different ways just to make our lives successful, and Swayambhuva Manu requests us to follow him, to follow Krishna. Skipping a little bit. Appreciating Bhakti Marg is instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has depicted the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shiksha kameka purusha parana Sri Krishna Chaitanya sharira dhari vipambhujiyatstamaham prapadye. Let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us real knowledge, his devotional service, and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. He has descended because he is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Let me surrender unto his lotus feet. That's from Chaitanya Chandradaya Natak. In this age of Kali, people cannot follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore the Lord himself takes part of Sri Krishna Chaitanya to teach personally how to become Krishna conscious. He asks everyone to follow him and to become a guru to deliver the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. So this is what Prabhupada is saying, is to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everyone, especially those born in India, but everyone, Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Agai Guru Hai Tare Desh. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. So there is need for unlimited spiritual masters, because there's unlimited people who need help. The coherent purpose of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to teach human society how to be happy by following the instructions of the Supreme Lord. So this is what Swayambhuva Manu was saying. follow Krishna's example, follow Krishna's teachings, be detached from one's work, and work hard. It's required that we work hard. But not work selfishly, but work in such a way that Krishna is pleased. It's a difference primarily of mentality. How will Krishna be pleased by this act? Yata pravata bhutanam yena salamidam tatam. Let Krishna be pleased with this. Let this be an offering to Krishna. And thinking, oh, how can I do this in such a way that Krishna will be pleased? Instead of how will I do this in such a way that I will be pleased? So there's a difference in mentality. The activity may appear to be exactly the same, but the mentality we wish to be, that we wish to adopt is one that is pleasing to Krishna, one very loving and devotional, soft and loving and devotional for Krishna's pleasure. For pleasing Krishna, not in a sentimental way, because Arjuna had to kill for Krishna's pleasure. He was a warrior fighting, and it was directly Krishna's instruction. Not sentimental, but yet it was a loving offering to Krishna. That was his bhakti, his offering of bhakti. And Krishna accepted. He wanted him to do it. Krishna said that the war is going to be won, the people are going to be killed, whether you fight or not. But if you fight and take part, you'll be known as the victorious one. You'll become glorious. But by your leaving the battle, you're not going to be able to save the people from death. They are killed already by my order, by my command, by my desire. Krishna showed Arjuna the Bharata Rupa. Kalosmin loka chaya krit. I've come as the form of time to destroy everyone. There's nothing you can do about that. But I want you to be an instrument. So you act. You're going to have to fight anyway because you're a warrior by nature. You will fight anyway. But I want you to do this as a devotional offering for me, and you will become glorious. But don't do it to become glorious. You will become glorious. But don't do it to become glorious. Do it for the pleasure of Krishna. That's the instruction. This is Krishna's instructions. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught how to, he demonstrated by his practical example, how to live a life. Of course, he was a renunciant. He was acting as a sannyasi. But even as a householder in his village, as a sannyasi, he preached, he did three things. He preached throughout South India. He preached and got everyone chanting Hare Krishna. Then he came back to Jagannath Puri and stayed in a holy place and took care of, instructed his disciples and his followers. And the third thing is he himself deeply relished, very deeply relished, but continuously, always. He was fully engaged teaching how a soul can act in his natural position, be completely absorbed in ecstatic Krishna consciousness, be in Vrindavan, wherever he is. This is the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sukadeva Goswami continued. Swayambhuva Manu was thus in a trance with these prayers, chanting the mantras of Vedic instruction known as the Upanishads. Upon seeing him, the Rakshasas and Asuras, being very hungry, wanted to devour him. Therefore they ran after him with great speed. The Raja Rishi was there, chanting in ecstasy, in trance, and he was going to be devoured by these Asuras and Rakshasas. The Supreme Lord Vishnu, who sits in everyone's heart, appearing as Jagyapati, observed that the Rakshasas, the demons, were going to devour Swayambhuva Manu. Thus the Lord, accompanied by his sons, named the Yamas, and by all the other demigods, killed the demons and Rakshasas. He then took the post of Indra and began to rule the heavenly kingdom. Text 19. The son of Agni, named Swarochish, became the second Manu, his several sons were headed by Jumnat, Shushena, and Rotsismar. Because at the beginning of this chapter, Cricket Raj said, we have already heard about Swayambhuva Manu and all his descendants. Now we'd like to hear about the other Manus, because Manvantara Ishanukita, hearing about the Manus and the incarnations especially that come during the times of the Manus, is part of one of the functions of a Purana. And this Bhagavad Purana is now telling of the different Manus. During the reign of Svarochisa, the post of Indra was assumed by Rochan, the son of Yajna. Tushita and others became the principal demigods, and Urja, Stamba, and others became the several seven saints. So when the Manus changed to different demigods and seven sages, etc., it also changed. All of them were faithful devotees of the Lord. Veda Shira was a very celebrated rishi. From the womb of his wife, whose name was Tushita, came the avatar known as Vibhu. Vibhu remained a brahmachari and never married throughout his life. From him, 88,000 other saintly persons took lessons on self-control, austerity, and similar behavior. O King, the third Manu, Uttam, was the son of King Priyavrata. Among the sons of this Manu were Pavan, Srinjai, and Jagyahotra. During the reign of the third Manu, Pramada and the other sons of Vashishta became the seven sages. The Satyas, Vedas, Shrutas, and Bhadras became demigods, and Satyajit was selected to be Indra, the king of heaven. In this Manvantara, the Supreme Personality of God had appeared from the womb of Sunrita, who was the wife of Dharma, the demigod in charge of religion. The Lord was celebrated as Satyasena, and he appeared with other demigods known as the Satyavratas. Satyasena, along with his friend Satyajit, who was the king of heaven Indra, killed all the untruthful, impious, and misbehaved yakshas, rakshas, and ghostly living entities who gave pain to other living entities, living beings. The brother of the third Manu, Uttam, was celebrated by the name Tamasa, and he became the fourth Manu. Tamasa had 10 sons, headed by Prithu, Khyati, Nara, and Ketu. During the reign of Tamasa Manu, amongst the demigods were the Satyakis, Haris, and Viras. The heavenly king Indra was Trishika. The sage in Saptarishi Dham were headed by Jyotir Dham. O king, in the Tamasa Manvantara, the son of Vidriti, were also known as the Vaidritis, also became demigods. Since the course of time the Vedic authority was lost, these demigods, by their own powers, protected the Vedic authority. Also, in this Manvantara, the Supreme Lord Vishnu took birth from the womb of Harini, the wife of Hari Mehta, and he was known as Hari. Hari saved his devotee Gajendra, the king of the elephants, from the mouth of a crocodile. An elephant saved by the Lord from the mouth of a crocodile. King Parikit, upon hearing this, said, "My Lord Bharatayani, we wish to hear from you in detail how the king of the elephants, when attacked by a crocodile, was delivered by Hari." Any literature or narration in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Uttama Shloka, is described and glorified is certainly great, pure, glorious, auspicious, and all good. This is the conclusion that Narada Muni tells Vyasadeva. You've written so much wonderful transcendental literature, but you have failed to glorify Krishna. Naturally, you will not be feeling satisfaction in your heart. You must glorify Krishna. Even if you talk about transcendence, even if you speak of the eternal soul, this will not satisfy either you or the readers. Because you have to glorify God, you have to glorify Krishna, you have to speak of His quality. That is the natural position of the soul. Prabhupada's purport. So every literature, Narada Muni says so radically and bold, he says there may be very, very poetic literature, great novels, great poetry. If they don't glorify Krishna, they're compared to what?
Place of crows.
Yes, the pilgrimage place of crows. Yes. Crows go there and swans don't go there. And on the other hand, Narada Muni says that if there is a literature that glorifies Krishna, even if it is imperfectly composed, on one hand perfectly composed non-literature that doesn't speak of the Lord, of Krishna, and on the other hand, imperfectly composed literature that does speak about Krishna, that is glorious. So here the same point is made. It is great. It is certainly great. Pure, glorious, auspicious, and all good. So how potent that is. Purport. The Krishna consciousness movement is spreading all over the world simply by describing Krishna. This is the basic job of the Krishna consciousness movement, to describe Krishna. If the devotees don't take that job up to preach, to glorify Krishna, Prabhupada said, the whole institution becomes, you know, the rubbish. Very heavy term, unless there's preaching. We have published many books, including Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in 17 volumes, 400 pages each, as well as the Bhagavad Gita and Nectar of Devotion. We are also publishing Srimad Bhagavatam in 60 volumes. Wherever a speaker holds discourses from these books and an audience hears him, this will create a good and auspicious situation. Therefore, the preaching of Krishna consciousness must be done very carefully by the members of the Krishna consciousness movement, especially the sannyasis. This will create an auspicious atmosphere. And the final verse in this chapter, Sri Siddha Goswami said, who is Sri Siddha Goswami speaking to? The sage is headed by Shaunaka Rishi. So Sutta Goswami said, because he's narrating this, what Prickett Maharaj is hearing from Sukadev, he said, O Brahmanas, when Prickett Maharaj, who is awaiting an impending death, thus requested Sukadev Goswami to speak, Sukadev Goswami, encouraged by the king's words, offered respect to the king and spoke with great pleasure in the assembly of sages who desired to hear him. And he's going to speak about Gajendra the elephant and how he was saved from the jaws of the crocodile. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 1st chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Manus Administrators of the Universe. So if Krishna allows, tomorrow we shall complete the 2nd chapter of the 8th canto. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or comments?
Yes.
And what's the next line? What does it speak of? Yes, so that's especially what one can't do unless one's initiated. Because chanting Hare Krishna doesn't even depend on initiation. Any other questions or comments? Right. So tomorrow we'll hear about Gajendra the elephant.